You are now listening to Changing Lives, a podcast presented by Mount Gilead Full Gospel International Ministries, hosted by co-pastor Elena Robertson.
Welcome back to Changing Lives. We are changing lives with the Word of God. I thank God for His Word, and that's what's going to change your life as we share today on this podcast. I'm glad you tuned in. I believe it's going to be a major blessing to you as you open up your hearts to receive the truth about your life and what God has in store for you. Today, we're going to talk about just your imagination. Is it really just your imagination? What is it about your imagination? Is it really more to it than what meets the eye? Let's get into the Word and let's find out. You know, as I begin to think about imagination and how important it is to us and how God created us, we are made in His image and in His likeness, and everything about us that He put in us reflects who He is. And God is very intentional about everything that He does. And so when we think about our imagination, God planted that on the inside of us, the ability to imagine, the ability to see something without it being manifested in front of us. And not only that, as we connect our imagination with our faith, and it's aligned with the Word of God, there is a world of possibilities that can be manifested in our lives. And so I don't know about you, but I want to have my life aligned in such a way that what I imagine, that it will be lined up with His Word, and that manifestation will come all for His glory. So, you know, when we think about imagination, we think about images, you know, images. When you begin to imagine in your mind, you begin to put pictures together, almost like a movie reel. And, you know, when we reflect on really what our thoughts are all about, it's not really just words. Our thoughts are actually pictures, you know, of that connects to our imagination. And so it is so important that we're able to tap into what God put inside of us as it relates to our imagination. And so a lot goes into our imagination, our thoughts, what we are able to see even in our current situation, taps into our imagination. Our faith is connected to our imagination, and we want our imagination to really operate in its fullest form, because what? God put it there. So we don't want our imagination to be dormant. But the other thing is this: we can have an imagination, but it's critical that our imagination lines up with the Word of God, because we can be imagining so many different things. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I've imagined in my mind, stories and things in my mind of how things have played out, or how people see me, or how people, what people think about me, or what's going to happen, you know, as it relates to this job, or what's going to happen as it relates to my life in this area, you know, it's our imagination that can run wild to take us down this trail and down this journey that paints a picture of the way that our lives are going to be. And it can be bleak. It can be detrimental. It can be a horror story, you know, if we allow the enemy to feed into our imagination. So as we get into the Word, let's allow the Word of God to align our imagination with His Word. And so it's critical. So I think about how much our thoughts and how we think has a lot to do with our imagination. You know, the Word of God talks about how as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, you know, and so that so is that life played out based on how we've been thinking, and our minds and our hearts are connected because our hearts think, you know, and it thinks in pictures. And so I reflect on Romans chapter 7, where Paul he's talking about this struggle that he has in his mind. And I want us to start off there as far as our scriptural basis, because I believe that if we can get this part straight or aligned, then as we veer into really allowing our imagination to flourish in a healthy way that glorifies God, then there is nothing that can stop us from manifesting all that God has for us. So, you know, in Romans, the seventh verse, and I'm going to just, you know, read a few of the scriptures that, you know, relates to this struggle that Paul lays out for us, you know. And so in my caption, the New King James Version, it says law cannot save from sin. And so, and that key word, as you see throughout these scriptures that I'm going to read, it deals with the law, And when something is a law, it is the way it is, and you are to follow that law. And but there are many different types of laws, and so that's what stood out to me. And so as we go through these scriptures, pick out as we're reading those different types of laws, and what law, you know, should we abide by or follow or align our lives to? Okay, so starting at the 13th verse, again, this is Paul. He's talking about this struggle. Okay, and he says, Romans the 7th chapter, the 13th verse, has then what is good become death to me? He says, certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. So sin is really gripping Paul. He's talking about our humanity, not just Paul, but all of us. All of us have this struggle dealing with sin in our mortal bodies, okay? And so the 14th verse says, for we know that the law is spiritual, okay? Law, and this relation to the law of God, which is his word, okay? So we know that the law is spiritual, but Paul goes on to say, I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, Paul is talking about his life really before his, you know, how it was before he had his transformation of allowing God to become Lord over his life and surrendering his life to Jesus Christ. Okay. And again, all of our lives, all of humanity's story lines up with this exact struggle that Paul is talking about. In the 15th verse, it says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. Have you ever been in a situation where you really hated something, hated doing something? Maybe you talked about, you know, something that maybe you saw your parents do and you didn't like it. You hated it. And you said, I will never do that. And then years later, as an adult, we find ourselves doing those very things that we say we did not want to do. What's going on with that? It's that struggle, that sin nature that is trying to dominate in our lives. And so Paul goes on to say, if then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. Okay. And so, but then the 17th verse says this, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. This is that state that humanity can be in before really surrendering to God. And, you know, we can have salvation. We can get saved. We can give our lives to the Lord. But that surrender is another layer, another level of allowing God to be preeminent in our lives. And when we allow him to be preeminent in our lives, that means we say, God, what is your law? What does your word say? And that's what I want to govern my life. No longer what I feel, no longer what my flesh yearns for and desires, whether it's sexual sin or just pleasurable things that you just want to have your way with. No longer that. And so when we say that we want the law of God to flow in our lives, we're saying we want the word of God to take precedence in our lives. And so Paul goes on to say, you know, about this struggle. In the 18th verse, he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, that's what he's talking about, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me. That means he wants to do what's right. It's present there, but then how to perform it, what is good, I do not find. So he struggles with trying to find, you know, I want to do this. This is what I know to do right, but there's something in me, that warring in me keeps me from doing what I know that I need to do. The 19th verse says, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So that means that's that tussle, that fight that goes on within, that Paul says, now, if I'm doing the very thing I don't want to do, and I know I don't want to do it, that's a warring in the flesh. Okay. And so, the 21st verse says this, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. So Paul is saying, I love the word of God. I delight in it. I take my delight in it. You know, I'm reading the word, you know, in the mornings when I wake up, I'm meditating on the word, you know, but then there's this struggle still that I'm dealing with. And in the 23rd verse, it goes on to say, but I see another law in my members, in my life, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And when I read that verse, it just really stuck out because I'm really big on dealing with our minds. So there's the warring that actually it's in our minds, that our that the sin nature that's in us wants to do what it wants to do. And in our minds, that law of our minds, that means there is a part of our minds that is able to reason. And in everyone's mind is that ability to kind of differentiate between what's right and what's wrong. Some of us have more of a bent to, you know, what's right. Some may have more bent to what's wrong based on our backgrounds and the things that we've experienced. Sometimes trauma, sometimes abuse, neglect, you know, all kinds of different things that sin brings along with it can really skew our ability to reason in the right way, which would be according to God's will and God's word for our lives. And so, you know, this warring in the flesh, how can we be delivered from this? You know, I'm thinking about the scripture where it talks about in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 5th verse, is one of my dear scriptures that helped me to get my mind straight. And it talks about how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against a spiritual wickedness in high places, you know. And then it goes on to talk about, it's a spiritual battle, really, in essence, in paraphrasing it. It's a spiritual battle. It's not something that we can fight in the flesh. And whenever that sin nature, that whenever you do what you know you shouldn't do, that's that sin nature taking over. And that's connected to the flesh. That's connected to the part of us that in our reasoning, we reason, you know, against what we should do, because that sin nature is tugging more at us than that spiritual nature that will pull us more on the side to align with the truth of God's word and what his word tells us to do. Okay. And so, but I think about this, the part of the scripture where it talks about casting down imaginations, and the Amplified Version and other versions, it talks about casting down imaginations, reasonings, thinking, thoughts that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So when you're talking about this actual battle, this actual war that's going on, that's warring against the law of your mind, what comes into play is this particular scripture that lets us know when you get to that place where you're not sure what to do and you're tuggling and tussling in your mind, it's like a twirling in your mind, a wrestling, then that lets you know that's the time when you got to differentiate between what's spiritual and what's your flesh, what's the soulish part of you, what's your physical part that's trying to dominate, and what's the spirit part. And to recognize that it's not a war that you fight in the flesh, but you have to fight in the spirit. And so when you begin to cast down that reasoning that says, oh, it's okay for me to do this in my flesh. It's okay for me to have this or have that. And you know it don't line up with the word of God, but you allow that reasoning to help to seem like it makes sense. Like it's okay. I'm justified to be able to do this, you know? And so when you get to that place, then you always have that opportunity to decide which way to go. Okay. We're going to connect all this to our imagination because every imagination does not glorify God. It doesn't. You think about the Israelites, with the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, and it talked about how they were in this place where they were all gathered and they began to talk amongst each other. Reason. Hey, we out here and we're seeing, looking amongst us of all these people who are well able and got possibility. Why don't we build a tower that will reach to the sky, you know? And they talk about all the things that they can accomplish, that can make a name for themselves. Now, anytime you try to make a name for yourself, come on, that right there can preach all by itself. When you try to make a name for yourself, that means you are concerned about your own identity. You're concerned about your own popularity, your own recognition. It's different when you say, oh, I want to do this so I can glorify God. And you really not only in lip service, but you really set it up in such a way where you glorify God in what you do. Then that's totally different when you try to make a name for yourself. You know, and oftentimes we get caught up in that. You know, we have all kinds of platforms that we can use these days, social media, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, TikTok, and all of these things. Are you making a name for yourself, or are you using these platforms as an avenue, as an entrance way, as an opportunity to glorify God? Come on now, that, you know, to me in life, we're getting down to the last days and now we got to make every moment count and every opportunity count. And so what we're doing with our lives, we got to be aligned to glorify God in everything that we do. Why? Because in glorifying God, God can use that as a witness to win souls, as a way to touch people's lives, to turn people's lives around from going down a path away from Him to directing it to go to a path that will be aligned with His will, His way, and to Him. And so, hey, are you trying to make a name for yourself? But the Israelites there, that was their focus. And God was like, wait a minute, hold up. I'm not even in this at all. You know, they're not even thinking about, you know, trying to glorify me, trying to add to the kingdom, trying to build the kingdom. No, they're trying to build their own kingdom. What they imagined in their minds was no way aligned with the kingdom of God. So that's why God came down and confused their language. They couldn't talk together. They couldn't do anything. But the principle was this, that they were on such a united front that they were able to visualize and imagine. And when you're able to get an imagination in your mind that you can lay hold to, then I'm telling you that the world of possibilities open up. I mean, come on, even in the scripture, it talks about, I believe it's the sixth verse, where it talks about how God Himself even said, you know, I had to confuse their language and all that because there was nothing that can be restrained from them. They were going to really accomplish all kinds of possibilities. And so that's how, you know, the process or the awesome tool of imagination, that's how powerful it is, that when you put your mind to something and, you know, you can believe, you can have faith or you can believe for something that's not aligned with God's word, because it is a actual force that happens. Our faith is an active living, force. And so you can believe for something that's totally out of line with God's word and you can draw that thing to you. Yep. And so if that happens, you know, then you think about the world of possibilities that when we really align our imagination with the Word of God, what can happen when we believe God in our lives? I mean, you know, believe God for great things. Believe God for opportunities to open up. Believe God for healing, because even, you know, if you're dealing with sickness in your body, and, you know, you can also imagine yourself being healed, you know, as opposed to imagine yourself being on your deathbed and dying. What are you fueling your mind with? Okay. Because what can happen is, and I can understand being in certain situations where you get a diagnosis, or, you know, you go into these annual checkups, and it can go different ways, right? And so the enemy is messing with your mind, but what he's trying to do is play into your imagination. If he can get you to develop pictures, which will tap into your faith, and you begin to see things played out in your life, he can take you down a road where it is not God's will for your life at all. Sickness, disease, dying, all of these things are not God's will for your life. So your imagination is such a powerful tool. And so we see here this wrestling that Paul talked about, how powerful it is to have to surrender your life and your mind to the Spirit of God so that we can align our imaginations with the Word of God. Come on, let's think about this. You know, imagination connects to reasoning, okay? It's a God-given gift to be able to reason and to think through things, okay? But our reasoning can draw us away from God, all right? And so you can't rely on just pure reasoning. Reasoning has to be laced with the Word of God, the truth of God, the promises of God, the direction, the guidance of God as he speaks to us, you know, in day in and day out living, as the Holy Spirit fuels us and empowers us and only speaks what he hears the Father say. If we align our reasoning with that, oh my gosh, we are a weapon to be reckoning with. Glory to God. And so our minds need to be brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. When we go through that reasoning process, when we are yielded under the control of the Holy Spirit, then we won't be led astray. We won't be led down a path that really is not God's will for our lives, okay? So in that part that Paul talked about, there's a warring against the law of my mind. That means your ability to reason, okay? There's a law with it. When you reason about certain things, then when you reason, then it connects to your faith, it connects to your thoughts, and it happens, okay? And so our minds have to be set on the Word of God. It has to be programmed to the Word of God. Come on, we know about programming. We got all these devices that we work and we figure out, and we set them a certain way to work to our advantage. Why not program your mind to work to your advantage, meaning to the advantage of glorifying God, okay? Another way of just saying it is renewing your mind, okay? When you renew your mind, you program your mind to line up with the Word of God. So when sickness is presented to you, then you're not allowing your imagination to take that thought and begin to develop pictures of it. Come on. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it talks about the third verse. It talks about how through faith, okay, our faith frames our world. How do we frame our world? By the thoughts that are given. And so when we take those thoughts, we begin to frame our world. We begin to frame our life. We begin to frame our day based on what we believe will happen. So if you believe you're going to have a yucky day, if you believe that you're going to fail this test, if you believe that you're not going to live, if you believe that you can't get along with nobody, nobody likes you, if you believe you don't have favor, guess what? Your faith has framed your world, and that's what will happen. That's what will connect to your imagination, and what you see in that frame is your imagination. Come on, what's in the picture that God has for your life? Have you been focusing on what he has, or you've been looking at the frame that the enemy has set up for your life that does not align with God's word? What are you going to connect your faith to? The truth of God's word that's framed? Hallelujah. Beautiful. Ah, thoughts that have that of God's coming to fruition that is of a great expected end. Come on now, there's going to be hills, there's going to be valleys, but you can best believe amongst the horizon, there is going to be glorious things happening in your life. Do you believe that? If you don't, that means you believe the picture of what the enemy has given you, and you've allowed your imagination to tune into that, and that's the reels that you allow to play over and over again in your mind. When you lie in bed at night, and when you think about all the bad things that could happen to you, when you think about, oh, I'm so lonely, and you constantly think about, I don't have this, and I don't have this person with me, all of those things fuel your imagination. Come on now.
This has been another episode of Changing Lives. Be sure to subscribe to stay updated on new episodes. Also, find us on the web at MountGileadFGIM.org. And follow us on Instagram at Mount Gilead FGIM.